Good morning, everyone. How are you all today? Yeah, my kids are always the loudest. Great. So, New Year's Eve. I thought, you know what? It's a great time to reflect on what God has in store for you and in store for us as not only a church, but as individuals. So I wanted to talk today about catching God's vision and dreaming of 2018. So we just went through this Christmas season and New Year's is here upon us already. I can't believe it. And I want to spend the next few weeks talking about capturing God's vision for your future. You know, it's an interesting thing to think about. How many of you have, just by a showing of hands, have made New Year's resolutions? So you want to live the right way. You want to live better. You want to live the best way you can, the most meaningful. Maybe you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to get in shape and get buff. I don't think anybody made makes New Year's resolutions to say, I want to go to McDonald's every day, six times a day. Do you? No, of course not. We want to get better, a new you and a better you. And that can be just not just applied to your physical life, but to your spiritual life as well. So I want you to dream this year. So I think back a few years ago when we were going to Disneyland with our family. Our daughter, Nora, who sometimes is stubborn and knows what she wants, knows how to do things in her way. And she wouldn't always listen to the way we wanted her to do things because she thought she knew better. And she would argue and disagree about things, and not that she was trying to be disobedient or rebellious, but because she really wants to help and enjoys helping. So we did what lots of parents do, and we dangled the little carrot for there to motivate her. If you do this, and you get this. So we created a reward system for her and all the kids. And when we talked about this trip, we had this perfect idea. We were going to dangle the Magic Kingdom for our princess, and we were going to help her save money and the rest of the kids save money. And as the time got closer, it was like the fairy godmother came and dangled some pixie dust on top of her. And she was just so helpful and did things the way we needed them done. So it made just life so much easier. And as we got closer to the day, she got even more helpful. And when the time came, it was amazing. Can you still hear me? Okay, good. So when I see a future that I desire very clearly, I'm going to start living more intentionally, and I'm going to start living more intelligently, and that's what Nora did. I'm going to start participating in that future that I see before me, that trip to Disneyland. I'm going to start participating in every choice I make now in order to enjoy it even more later. And as time passed with Nora, her reality became even more clear, more motivating, and more real. So yeah, what we came out of that with was a strong vision of the future, a good vision, one that can be embraced, provides us with clarity, thoughtfulness, and intentionality in the presence. So the reason Jesus came out of space and time and into this world was not just to help us assurance for future, but he wanted to provide us that assurance right now to know what heaven could be like right now. He wants us to participate in what's going to happen later on, right now, where we live and how things are going. Yes, if you're in Christ, you're going to make it to the kingdom of God in heaven forever. But that kingdom can be here on earth. You can start participating in that kingdom in intentional and intelligent ways. So I want you to envision a promised future that God offers you. I want you to discover it, and I want you to participate in it now. So let's say three easy words. Envision, discover, participate. Can you say it with me? Envision, discover, participate. You guys are really quiet this morning. That's okay. I know it's cold. So my little story, though, about Nora is a story that really allowed me to understand that. God not only dangles a future for us, he doesn't just have it out there, but he's going to give us one right now. That should inspire us to embrace it. When doing a little acrostic of the word dream, we're going to do that today. You all know what an acrostic is? It's a three-letter acronym, but we're going to have an acronym for each letter, so it's an acronym. At Husky, where I work, my other job, we have TLAs, three-letter acronyms for everything. HOG, PM, you know, there's an acronym for just about everything you could think of. So we're going to have an acronym for the word dream today. So here, the first step in capturing God's vision for you and your context for the next season or year, dream. So D is the first letter in dream. And it's decide to let God decide. Can you say that with me? Decide to let God decide. And in Jeremiah 10, he decides to let God decide. And it's a template for us to follow. Jeremiah 10, 23 to 24 says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It's not for them to direct their steps. Discipline me, Lord, but only in due measure, not in your anger, or you reduce me to nothing. And when it comes to deciding to let God decide the plan for his future, what does Jeremiah know from that scripture? Well, he knows something really important that we all need to know and that we all need to remember. And that is when someone is created, there is an intention. There is a purpose. If you ask anybody who creates things what they're creating it for, there's always a purpose. Who creates something here? Bob. Okay, you create birdhouse, great. So what's the purpose of that birdhouse? Is it just to sit there and look pretty? Or do you really want to see some birds living in that house? The chateau bird. Like, that's something that you want. If I was to make a chair, my purpose of my chair wouldn't be just to have the chair there, is it? It's just for somebody to sit there. Now, I know my mother-in-law, she has a couple chairs that are not for sitting on. She's got them pretty with pillows and stuff. But I'm like, it's a chair. Like, let me sit in the chair. Right? It's not a piece of art. It's a chair. It has a purpose. And we have purpose. So for Jeremiah to boldly say, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own, that offends some people in our Western culture. Because we've got this mind that I'm my own person. I'm a self-made man. I'm this, I'm that. The fact is, we strive for our autonomy. But with God, Jeremiah knows he's created for something. And there is an intention behind him. And there's an intention behind us. Our lives are not our own. There's an intention. There's a purpose behind us. At verse 24, he asks God for a gentle reset of God's plan into our life. Now, as a parent, there are times when we need to gently reset, but firmly reset our kids, don't we? Not in anger, but with the gentleness to get them back aligned with the family values, with family beliefs, with family behaviors, with how God called us to act. And that's what Jeremiah is asking for. He's deciding to let God decide. He is boldly and courageously asking to be gently reset from the self-directed life to the God-directed life so he can experience a right relationship with his Creator, a right relationship with the things in his life. Isn't that what we all want? Right related with God? Think about that. And James 4:10 talks about that type of attitude where it says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. So as we look forward to the new year that's coming up, maybe it's improvement. Maybe it's better support. Maybe it's the best version of us that we can be. But the truth is, what? If we really want to do that, then we need to align ourselves to the intentions of our Creator, to the purposes that we were made for, don't we? We need to let God, we need to decide to let God decide. We need to ask God for a reset, and we need to humble ourselves and allow that to happen. So the word humble here is the word tapeno, and it happens what that means is being fully dependent on the Lord, dismissing your reliance on you and emptying your ego and deciding to let God decide. Are you prepared to let God decide this year? Or are you wanting to just keep on fighting and trudging through life the way it is? I think we all want to decide to let God decide, don't we? Next, R. The R in dream is reality is the path to God's destiny or God's glory. You see, we are all on this path to the glory of God. That's our purpose. As believers, It is to glorify God with our lives. And that's not going to change. But where do we want, or where do we start on that path to glorifying God on our path? Do you know? Most of us think we start in the areas of our strengths, don't we? We want to start, you know, I'm a really good piano player, so I'm going to play piano and glorify God that way. But I think God really wants us to start in our areas of weaknesses. If we focus on places that are strong, who gets the glory and credit? Usually we do, don't we? Oh, Dave, you're so talented. Dave, you're a talented singer. I love to hear your voice. What if we start in our areas of weakness? Who gets the credit and glory then? God does. That's right. We tend to focus on the areas that are working, not the areas that are broken. And that makes sense in our human form. But that's not where God wants to start. Because when things are in order, typically the author of that is me. John 9:1-3 says, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus' response there shows me it's our weakness where God wants to work. God doesn't need our tidy, perfect life. He doesn't need this cleaned up, successful life to show that he is working. He would rather start in our areas of struggles and our messed up, dirty areas. Because guess who gets the credit? He does. That's right. And he wants to work in that area so that there might be a little bit of, where there's a little bit of blindness and maybe you're a little broken. So ask yourself, what's not working? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an attitude or a way of thinking. Or maybe something you're doing isn't getting the result the way you thought it would. Maybe a behavior of sin. Something that is out of alignment with the intentions of our Creator God, because we were created for something. So you think about what that is and allow God to start there in your life. Be real with Him. Reality is the road to God's glory or God's destiny in your life, and He wants to work there. Remember, if our circumstances change, then we will change. It's not what we own or what we drive. It's the focus is God. The truth is man looks to the outside, but God looks at our hearts. He wants to see real change. E is the exchange, is to exchange my focus from where I am to where I'm going. Exchange my focus from where I am to where I am going. And Colossians 3, Paul talks about this. Colossians 3, 1-4 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now broken with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. See, Paul knows one of the strongest motivators is a real come to Jesus meeting, doesn't he? He wants us to set our mind there, get eternal perspective, and get on God's shoulders. So I know when I'm with the boys and Seth and Cohen, when they were little, they really wanted to ride on my shoulders and ride on their uncle's and grandpa's shoulders. And they'd come running up and put their hands up and say, shoulders, shoulders. And they wanted to be on my shoulders and our shoulders because we're bigger than them. But why did they want to be there? Because then they could see what we see. They can sense what we sense. And they feel safe and confident on our shoulders. A kid on the shoulders of their fathers feel invincible. They feel powerful. They feel big. They can see what their father sees. We want to see what our father sees. And that's what Paul is kind of saying here. When we are on our father's shoulders, we need to get confident. We need to get courageous. We need to feel invincible because we are on our father's shoulders. And that's the encouragement of Colossians 3. So set your mind and heart on things above. So get above the stuff that's going on here on earth. Set your mind on things above. And we're going to talk about this, what we have to get with God in the future, but we need to get our minds on things above. We need to talk about things above. You got to look up and to God and say, shoulders, God, please. And then you need to look forward to the future and focus on what God is seeing. And the other aspect of this verse, 3 and 4, says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in glory. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So when you cross that line into commitment and enter relationship with God, you go from being a creation of God to a child of God. There's a difference there, because now you're in the family. Now you have a family, and there isn't plan B anymore. Only plan A. That's why it says your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's the plan. That's where you're going. So we can be going along in plan A, our plan A in life, the plan that God gives us, and things can change a little bit. And maybe we screw up and we make a mistake, and we start going down this path that's maybe out of plan A. Things shift for us. But guess what? God wants to come in alignment with us and make that plan A. And he'll readjust that plan, and that plan A is going to be awesome. It's not plan B. It's always plan A with God. And that's something to get excited about. Going forward, we want to stay in plan A. When Christ comes in your life, you're with him. That's plan A. And that's what Paul had in mind in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, where it says, I pray that the eye of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and in incomparably great power for us who believe. See, he doesn't want us to fool ourselves into thinking that plan B is going to work. My plan's better. A plan outside of God's plan never works. An attitude and a way of thinking outside of God's plan? No, we don't want that. He wants them to know how awesome, powerful plan A is, God's plan. And when we realign ourselves with God, when we make an error, that becomes our new plan A, and it's still awesome. We need to look from his shoulders and his perspective. I need to set my eyes on things above where I'm seated with Christ. That's what we need. A, in dream. A is to accept God's process. Most people want God's best, don't they? We want all the great stuff. We want everything that God has, but we sometimes don't want the struggle with God's process. We don't want to deal with the process. We want the plan. We want the good stuff, don't we? But we don't want to deal with the process. Is there a way we can just jump or swerve around God's process? No. We want to get it to the end and get the product or whatever we need. You know, I learned through my own kids, if I only give them the end product without forcing them to go through the process, what do? I spoil them, don't I? Ella doesn't like that, I know. Yes, I spoil them. See, there's a process. There's no inner work. There's no inner change that's happening. They need to go through the work to get to the prize. There's no work. Without work, there's never going to be an internal change. Well, we want to see an external result. Well, how does that happen? You can't. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, that way leads to death. Here's the deal. You want to know the truth? You can work through God's process, or you can try and skip that and go about it your own way. Your way may seem right, but it isn't. And in the end, you have a choice. See, your way, as we read in Proverbs, leads to death. You can change that. You can decide to let God decide. You can let some of the harder realities be the starting point, because those are the areas that will be the most meaning, bring the most meaning and change. And as we do that change, our focus to an eternal perspective, happens. Change your focus from where you are to where you're going. You can accept God's process and move forward. And that's what we want. That's what we want to see. So the M in dream is make strong moves towards new spiritual and personal maturity. Make a strong move. What's the opposite of a strong move? It's a weak move, isn't it? You know, you watch hockey, and if you've watched Connor McDavid play hockey, when he's going down to the net, does he just kind of flop the puck around and go score? Does he drive to that net as hard as he can every single time and make a strong move to the net? He makes a strong move to the net, yeah. And I know with my kids, watch them play soccer. You know, if they just get the ball and they just kick it up the field, that's a pretty weak move lots of the time. But no, if they put their head down, or up, I guess, so they can watch their defenders come, and they make a hard move and drive the ball up, that's what we want. We need to make that strong move with the puck or strong move with the ball to the net because we are trying to get to the goal. Weak moves never get you anywhere. You're going to lose the ball. You're going to kick it away. So what do you say? What's your strong move? Because we don't want to make weak moves, do we? So what? I'm going to church. That's a great starting point. But what do you do when you're at church? What are you doing throughout the week? Are you spending time on your knees with Him? Are you reading the Word? Maybe getting involved when we do events here and do things here. Getting committed to the things that we're trying to do. Reaching out in the community, ministering to people. Take it up a level. Take it up a notch and volunteer and help out. See, we're called to minister to those around us, so let's minister. But get in the Word. You have to do the hard work in order for the growth. Go after that. Paul says in Philippians 3:7-9, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage or skabala, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Remember, that skabala is a strong word. What does it mean? It means crap. It means worse than crap. Stop glorifying the crap in your life and move forward. Make some strong gains. Make strong moves towards Christ and let Him be the author of your life, guys. That's what I want. And I want you guys to get excited about Jesus being the author of your life, Jesus being Lord of your life. That's what's important. Decide to let God decide. This year, I want you guys to remember to dream. So let's talk about this one more time. Dream. Decide to let God decide. Reality is the road to God's glory or God's destiny. Exchange my focus from where I am to where I am going. Accept God's process and make strong moves towards personal and spiritual maturity. Guys, God has so much for us. We just need to dream. We need to move forward and towards Him. He is all that matters. Isn't it? Isn't He all that matters? Dream. Decide to let God decide. That's the D. Reality is the road to God's glory. R. Exchange my focus from where I am to where I am right now to where I am going. That's the E. Accept God's process. That's the A. And M. Make strong moves. M. Guys, let's dream this year. It's going to be a great year. God has good things in store, doesn't He? Let's dream. This is a year of new beginnings. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for loving us. God, thank You for directing us. Thank You for allowing us to dream. God, we want more of You, don't we? Father, we want to spend time with You. We want to get to know You. We want to see where Your plan is for us. So God, we humbly give our lives to You. We give this year to You in excitement. God, we thank You. Father, we thank You. In Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.